I just want to say a few words before I show the film that I'm going to show. It's a time lapse, and it's taken me a few weeks to do. But even before I thought about it, God showed me a picture. And this artwork sort of came into being. It's been so challenging, one of the most challenging things that I've done artistically. What I've done is I've produced this time lapse, and I haven't edited anything out of it. So what you see is the whole process from beginning to end, mistakes, warts and all. And I thought that would be much more interesting so that you can see what happens as it develops and as it evolves. And actually, before I play this, I just want to say a quick thank you to my son, Joseph, who helped edit it with me.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. On earth, goodwill to men, and the bells are ringing like a choir. They're singing in my heart. I hear them. Peace on earth. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing like a choir that's singing.
So I hope you all enjoyed that. I certainly was really blessed to do that, and it's over 500 frames. It's a pastel on card. It's the first time I've used that material, so you can imagine it was quite a challenging thing for me to do. But you know, this is the way God works in our lives. You know, we are capable of doing things that we don't think we are. And actually, it was quite before I had well. When I had the idea, I thought, is this a good idea? Is this? And I really felt God moving me. The music in the background is from a poem called Christmas Bells, and it was written by Henry Longfellow in 1863. Now, I do encourage you to listen to the full version of that worship music by Casting Crowns. It really is quite moving. The poem and the carol that we heard from the song is it's from a place of grief and resentment. Longfellow lost his wife very tragically in a fire, and his son was injured badly in the American Civil War. So he was in kind of a state of despair. But at the end of the poem, you hear a man who has a softened heart, an eternal hope in the peace that God provides us. And that's what I was displaying in the right-hand corner of my art, was a man that started off completely wallowing in the self-despair. And then at the end, the freedom that peace brings with his arms up in the air, even despite his circumstances. Now, I know that a lot of people that are here today, and certainly friends and family, have been through challenging times recently, and especially with the new restrictions that were imposed yesterday, that, you know, maybe we can't have the Christmas that we want. Maybe there's fear. Maybe we're in isolation. We can't be with loved ones and family, and there's this generation gap that can't be bridged because we can't be together. My hope is that even through this, through our grief and through our pain, that Jesus offers a peace that surpasses all understanding and is much more than what the world can offer us. And he knows our pain. He knows our disappointment. He's felt disappointment. He's been betrayed, and he was betrayed, and he was alone. So he understands all of that. But so before I put chalk to paper, I asked the Lord, what is it that I can draw and bring to people that really expresses the intimacy that God wants with us, the intimacy and the love that is what Jesus is all about? And he gave me a picture of a young mother tenderly holding a newborn baby, and the love reflected in that, Mary holding baby Jesus. And I was wondering about what she might be pondering then. Perhaps she's pondering what his life holds, what he's going to be like anybody would be looking at a newborn baby, but most of all, pouring out of love for this life she's holding. And that's what I was portraying in that picture there. And some artists portray Mary to be quite serene, perhaps a little bit too saintly to be real. But I don't think that's the case. Although she pondered things in her heart, I'm sure that didn't make her miserable. I'm sure, on the contrary, it made her joyful and hopeful for the future. And King Jesus comes into the world as a little helpless baby. You know, he comes into the world reliant on the people around him to change him, to change his clothes, to feed him, for everything. He came as a king, but he came as a helpless little baby. I think that's amazing. It's a human story. And can we relate to Jesus being born in a barn? Well, I don't think we can. I mean, I don't know anyone who's born in a barn. But I have been to a place that was a working, what we'd call a small holding. So I have got a picture of what that might look like. When I was younger, I used to go to my gardener's house. His daughter was a good friend of mine, and they were a very humble family. There wasn't even any running water in their house. We used to have to go down and get buckets of water and bring them. And he had a small holding. It was made out of stone, and it had cattle, so it had cows in it and sheep in it. And the first thing I can tell you about it is that the smell is the first thing you notice, even before you see the small holding of the barn. And then the second thing is that when you go in there, you just see that, of course, cattle are going to do what they're going to do. That attracts flies. And it's a really messy place, a really smelly place. It's damp and it's cold. I certainly wouldn't pick to spend the night in a barn like that. Yet Jesus was born into all of that. He was born in a bit of a messy place. He was born into a messy world, and the world tried to mess him up, but he was victorious, and he still is. And that brings hope to our lives. And as we meditate on the readings that we've had today, I just want to encourage you to put that over-familiarity to one side. Don't let it affect the way you feel about the power of those messages that have been given, those messages of hope and of peace, because sometimes you just, okay, I've heard this before. But let's meditate properly on it, just like we've heard it for the first time, and feel the power of God's message to us. And I'm just so glad that God loves us. He loves all of us, no matter who we are. It says, peace on earth, goodwill to men and women. And that means all men and women. No exceptions, no clauses, no conditions. He loves us all. He brings goodwill to us all, whether we've been naughty or nice. Phew, I'm glad. I don't know about you. And so the world tells us something different. Karma tells us you get what you deserve. Jesus tells us, I give you more than you deserve. In Psalm 145, it says, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers his compassion on his creation. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's meditate on that. So God loves to pay attention to us. It says in the Bible, every hair on your head is counted. Love pays attention. If somebody comes into the room, and it's anybody that I love, and say, I've got a problem, I don't know what to do about it, I don't sit on my phone scrolling away. Hang on, that thought. I put my phone away. I switch the TV on mute. I shut down the computer, whatever it is around, there's a lot going on, obviously. But whatever it is that's going on around me, I switch that off just to listen to the person that I love. Attention is just about the biggest gift that you can give anybody. Your time is so valuable. But the people that they feel that you're giving your time and attention to will really value that. And that's what God's all about. He gives us all attention, whether we feel it or not. And I just want to sort of think on that a little bit more. And God pays attention to us because he loves his creation. God takes action. Love is action. Love is attention. Love takes action on our behalf. God takes action on our behalf. Jesus is love in action. Now, as Mary pondered her newborn baby, I want us to really think about this Jesus being love in action. I'm going to pray for us all later. But I pray for a hope in this next season, a hope of new beginnings. How is Jesus going to take action in our lives? And what does that look like? So I'd like you all to think about that in this next segment. And like I say, we are going to pray for you later. Thank you.